So we're bridging the gap here on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. My name is DJ Mr. Nick. I'm joined here in the station by Jimbo Mathis of the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Aloha, Hawaii.
How's it going? Welcome to Hawaii.
Oh, man. It's going great, and thank you. We're so proud to be here.
So I've been listening to you guys for, I guess we found for 20 years now, since since Hot came out.
Hot came out, it'll be 21 years this July.
So the interesting thing is that I've always had a tough time actually describing when people are like, what is a Squirrel Nut Zippers? I'm like, well, it's swing, but it's jazz, but it's calypso. So with that said,
cabaret,
how would you describe yourself?
Well, we're pretty unique. I don't think there's anything quite like us. I don't know what you call it, but whatever it is, it's hot, you know. but it's, like you said, a mixture of hot jazz. Of the New Orleans variety. Anything from show tunes, cabaret. I researched all early American music, Hawaiian music. Stephen Foster, going back to the first, songwriters of America. Even German cabaret music and avant-garde things. Some swing, some 30s calypso from Trinidad. So it's a real mashup. But the cool thing about us was that we wrote all our own music, so we didn't necessarily copy anything. So one song could have two or three different components to it, you know. So it was quite an interesting mashup, you know.
And doing this, was your intention to kind of, was it like to, you know, send a nod to all these old types of music, or to kind of recreate it, or to create a hybrid of it all? Or?
You know, the only intention was to, like, learn it and appreciate it and, like, get in the bones of it. You know, that was my, you know, I was the founder of the band, and my only goal was to just get inside of it and understand it. Obviously, for doing that, you have to play with an ensemble. You can't just, I'm a student of music, but I'm also an entertainer. So, you have to be in a group to work out the nuances of the music. It really just came about as an art project, or, you know, part of my education, personal education. And it just, all of a sudden, it just took off, literally after our first show, public performance. We had a record deal in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So this is before cell phones, you know. And so I'm at this little French pub in Chapel Hill, and somebody yells through the crowd, you know, all the noise, "Hey, there's a call for you, Jimbo, on the payphone," you know. And I went on the payphone, and it was a guy from Merge Records saying, "Hey, do you come by the office on Monday, and if you want a record contract?" So it really was quite shocking.
So kind of backtracking here, but give me a little bit of history about your band.
Well, we came together in the mid-90s, the early 90s, really, in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And like I said, it was part of my personal education of researching American music. And so I just found like-minded souls around the community. It was a very art-based community and very individual, you know, original bands were appreciated, you know, and encouraged originality So people were kind of on the cutting edge. There were a lot of resources for music to find in the libraries and in the record shops. We really just got together as, like I say, like an art project. And people were learning their instruments. Like a lot of the members didn't have background in music.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so I was sort of mentoring them and putting this vision together. I had no idea where it would go, but I was trying to involve theater, costuming, you know. It was more like a puppet show or something. It wasn't supposed to do anything other than just edify us. And then, like I say, we just took off, and we put out a full-length record. We were featured on public radio on Bob Edwards' Morning Edition in 94. We had a huge interest in our first record, and it ended up selling way more than anybody thought. For this antique, you know, quirky, eccentric band. And then we made the second record, and two or three radio stations picked up one of the songs, which was Hell, was the name of the song, and it was about, you know, purgatory and the biblical hell.
Which is,
and you know, it got picked up in Boston, it got picked up in KCRW in LA, and it just, next thing we know, we had a 1.5 million records we had sold within like 3 years of just the basic plunking around in the old cabin, you know.
You know, with that note, let's, why don't we listen to, I know you brought in some new stuff, which I'm sure. Really excited, but let's take a real brief pause and actually listen to Hell.
Let's do that.
This is Hell from the Squirrel Nut Zippers off their album Hot. We'll be right back with Jimbo.
All day, but tomorrow they'll be held to pay. The people listen attentively. I mean about future calamity. I used to think the idea was obsolete until I heard the old man dampen his feet. Eternally, fire is applied to their body. Teeth are extruded and burnt to ground and baked into cakes which are passed around.
Here on Member Supported Hawaii Public Radio. That was Hell off from the Squirrel Nut Zippers off their album Hot, which is 20 years old now.
It'll be 21 years old in July.
I'm joined here.
We're so proud of him. He's grown up to be so big.
I'm joined here in the station by Jimbo Mathis of the Squirrel Nut Zippers. And I got to ask, you guys get in any trouble for that song?
No. I mean, it was
like any, like, you know, protested or
no, because it's really tongue in cheek. I mean, a lot of our stuff is very parody, dark humor, satire, you know. And we had a very humorous, like, satirical video where we kind of lampooned like the Lawrence Welk show or something. And so all of our stuff was, I mean, you know, hell is in the Bible, you know. So we really didn't. I mean, everybody just thought it was fun. It was so different from everything then or since. And I think we were one of the last weirdo bands to, like, get through, you know, before it all got so homogenized that it's really impossible now. We were really, really one of the last quirky bands like that to sneak through the cracks.
So, I got to ask, because I always hear, like, you know, whenever I bring you guys up, they're like, oh, they're one of those swing bands of the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Was that an intention at all to, I mean, you,
No.
You got kind of got lumped in with
that. Yeah, I mean, we were working in complete isolation. I mean, we lived in a rural area in North Carolina. So we hadn't, I didn't even have a television at that time. We were just starving artists, and so we had no concept what we were doing. We flew to L.A. for the first time, and we're pulling up to the Brown Derby. It's a club, and there's a, line around the block with all these people dressed in vintage clothes. This stuff. And we're like, oh, my God, I wonder who's playing, who they're here to see, and they're like, they're here to see you. And so unbeknownst to us, there was a burgeoning swing dance. And that's really come through all these years. I mean, swing dancing, the popularity of all that has really blossomed and become, popular. But at that time, we were completely in the dark. So we had no intention of that. And so all of a sudden, there were three or four bands that were kind of doing the same thing. It's very odd.
But you guys are the ones that took it always.
We had the first hit. Right? Well, yeah. And I think we kicked the door down for some of the other ones. But unintentionally. I mean, we had no goals other than just purely personal artistic goals. But we didn't really do the jump blues. And like I said, our music is a lot more eccentric. With a lot of different more components, but just by the fates, it just happened to work out like that. So
tell me about what bringing us up to the present. What's going on now?
Well, I had the opportunity. They informed me that the Hot release was coming on a 20-year anniversary, and maybe we should do a couple of shows in celebration, and. And we started talking about this about three years ago. And I said, well, the more I thought about it, I said, if we're going to do this, why don't we just start the Squirrel Nut Zippers again and get back to work rather than just do some celebratory nostalgia thing? Let's turn it into the viable creative thing that it's supposed to be. And so I started seeking out people that I wanted to work with, the people that I had on my radar for all these years. And most of the band's out of New Orleans now. So I've got like the Cutting Edge Cats and Kitties, from New Orleans, from the burlesque and the jazz, the trad jazz and R&B. In the band now, so it's really brought the songs up to a whole new level with horn arrangements, the dynamics of the stage show, the energy. I knew we had to find the energy again, and that's what I didn't want to fake, And so by doing what I did, we've got like a whole new concoction, and we're doing all the old stuff, but with a new twist, more sophisticated sound, and frankly, just more entertaining.
And you're recording again.
Yes, we've got a whole new record ready and prepared. I've got on a big writing streak. One of my big partners and new partners in the band, Dr. Sick, he's contributed to writing and arranging and producing on the new record. So I've got a lot of fresh ideas, and we look to put this out next year. So I've got some new tracks I brought.
So we're going to hear one. This is... Carnival Joe from Kokomo.
Correct.
Right. All right. So we're gonna hear this, and then we'll be right back.
This is the world debut.
This is the first time.
Of Carnival Joe from Kokomo.
Really? I'm honored. All right, we'll be right back with Jimbo Mathis from the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
This way, ladies and gentlemen, this way to see the greatest conglomeration of curios ever gathered together under one canvas tint in the universe. Never before has anyone seen such a marvelous collection of rarities as we have assembled here before you. See Prince Juju Bobo, the sword swallower. He is also a snake charmer, ladies and gentlemen. He eats them alive. See the wonderful Princess Karma perform a wonderful dance on a platform suspended above the heads of all the audience to myriad rays of tiny electric lights and the weird music of a tom-tom orchestra. She performs this dance on the pallid surface of a silver dime. Bring your wives, friends, and children, or they will reproach you in later life for this uncalled for lack in their education. For one dime, 10 cents, 2 nickels, you can be instructed. Let me tell you.
you, ladies and gentlemen, that although her feet are perfectly rigid, every nerve, every muscle, every fiber quivers like jelly in the bowl.
Bridging the Gap here, members supported Hawaii Public Radio. My name is DJ Mr. Nick. I'm joined here in the station with Jimbo Mathis of the Squirrel Nut Zippers. That was nice.
Yeah, you know, we've really got to capture the old sound, but bringing it into a new era. And some fresh ideas.
And then since you have some new members, was there a lot of pressure to recreate a lot of the older? Because I know Catherine is no longer.
Right, but she's retired, you know, and but different people have different, but it really wasn't. You know, the reach of the band, I found, it was quite large. When I started looking for musicians, a lot of them are, you know, 15, 20 years younger than me. And so a lot of them, the Squirrel Nut Zippers, were one of their main influences for getting into music in the first place. So, you know, a lot of these people grew up listening and digging on Squirrel Nut Zippers. So I knew that when we came back, we had to do the old material. It's so good. It's like a body of work, you know. It's like a play or a production, you know. I didn't want to deviate from what we had done. I just wanted to improve it and inject that energy into it. So that's where we're at. And then from the excitement of the band, meeting all the cats, the dynamic between them, I was able to get back into that writing spirit and start concocting new material like what you just heard, Carnival Joe from Kokomo.
Should we hear one more?
I would love to. Yeah. I mean, we're doing some. This is, you know, these tracks are, some of them aren't even fully mixed. So this is literally the premiere.
This is the raw.
This is the premiere.
Okay.
So I'd like to do an instrumental. This was written by Henry Westmoreland, Dr. Sick, and I had some influence on it. And it's called Axeman Jazz.
Axeman Jazz. All right, here we go. Brand new Squirrel Note Zippers.
Well, I got a trombone with a rusty bell. I got a fine woman who plays it well. When she's blowing, how I yell, blow that rusty trombone. She grabs my horns, my delight. Knows just how to blow it right. But when she wants so day or night, when she blows that rusty trombone. When I pull out my instruments and fiddle by her side, such a sweet accompaniment, she grabs me by my bride. And she's a big bottom blower, I'm a fast paced pucker. We duet, she's just a low down sucker. Her mouth through the piece, her lips to her thug, and she blows that rusty trombone. Blow, baby, blow.
We're back with Jimbo Mathis here on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. Just one last question on as Please. Far as people coming to your shows, what do you want them to really take away from it?
Oh, my gosh. You know, we're trying to bring the joy back to entertainment. You know, I think we've had enough introspection. You know, there's so much going on in the world right now that's it's so divisive, so negative, so just wrong. And I like to provide just a joyful noise for the people and come together, all races, all people, and just really, since our music is so unique and so upbeat and twisted, just everybody just have a great time. And people are saying, this is the most fun I've had. And it's just wonderful and joyful.
Got it. All right, so Squirrel Note Zippers plays starting this evening over at the Blue Note Hawaii. They're there for tonight, Friday and Saturday night, three nights, two shows a night, 6:30 and 9 p.m. Tickets are available at their website at bluenotehawaii.com. And we'll have more information on all of this up on our website at hawaiipublicradio.org by searching Bridging the Gap. Jimbo, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. I love talking to you, Nick, and best wishes to everybody out there in your listening public.
All right, thanks.